What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
Long live Triple G. Man, this is the Fade Hour, episode 5, and this is Maul, man, from Bruise and Boxing, your host, Ringside Rave. Man, we're going to go over this Triple G fight. We're going to go over this Alexander Povetkin and Anthony Joshua fight. Man, but first, I'm going to send it around the room, starting off with my man, News. He's going to introduce himself, and then we just going to hear from Smoke, Pat, and P.
Oh, man, what up, y'all? You already know what it is. Your boy, News, representing that Ringside Rave all day. I know what it is with me, man.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke, Free Smoke Boxing, Ringside Rave. I got that Voodoo Ranger IPA, and we got a joint. Let's do it.
Well, it's good, Joe. It's Pat Scorpion, New England representative. And, of course, it's Monday, so I'm sipping on water right now. What?
God, my man.
What up? It's your boy P, representing Bodega Boxing, Ringside Rave, and I'm at work, so I'm drinking soda.
Now we're going to put these boys on temporary suspension. It's the fade
exactly.
Hour.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Y'all are ready.
So I can't be faded at work.
I was spending all weekend. I'm only human.
So, were you faded when your boy Triple G lost?
Hey, Hold on. Yeah, I got you.
Ain't getting at you yet. I just got to tell the people, I got my trusty sidekicks next to me. I got the Supreme OG. I got the Ciroc on deck. So you already know what type of night it's about to be.
I already know that, man. I got my little triple IPA here, and I'm about to drink me another strong L 22 ounce. But let's get right to it, man. You know what? We know why we here. And I know Pat, I know Smoke, I know News, I know y'all want to get it in. But let's go ahead and let's get P thoughts first on how he felt about the whole Triple G and Canelo fight. Man, I want to hear what he got to say first.
All right. Well, as y'all know, when we first, was going over it last week, I was a little undecided. I was going back and forth. But I settled with Canelo. And I kind of said that as a toss-up. Then, as I really thought about it afterwards, I thought, with Canelo coming in lighter, I thought he was going to box more. I thought that maybe in his mind, that was his way of saying he didn't expect Triple G's power like that. So I went with Canelo. And as the fight started, I was impressed. It was a different Canelo. It wasn't the Canelo I was expecting. He was more aggressive. He was backing Triple G down. The whole fight, the last fight was off running. He was running. And this time he actually fought. He backed him down. And yeah, he was hit with jabs and all, but he was able to counter slip, hit him with the body. The body work really was what won him the fight, in my opinion. And he gassed up later. So I thought Triple G won most of the later rounds. But at the end of the day, I had it 115-113 Canelo. I think he boxed him, he put the pressure on him most of the fight, and really outside of the jab and a couple of rights and that uppercut, really Triple G didn't have really much for Canelo as much as Canelo had for him. So I thought it was the correct decision, no robbery whatsoever. I can see why people thought Triple G won the fight, but no, I think Canelo won it, fair and square.
Got you, man. What about you, News?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna let y'all know right now, I'm saving Pat for last. So after News finished, Smoke you up. And Pat, you
know what? No, I
what you think? You want to throw it to Pat? What you want to do?
Nah, you know what? I was gonna throw it to Pat, but I just thought about it. In the ring, the losers don't get to speak first. I get to speak first. So I'm gonna talk my trash. Like I said, Canelo was whooping that ass. And that's where I don't care about. I'm tired of seeing it's 7-5, it's 8-4. He lost. Like I said before, the only thing that matters is wins or losses, W's or L's. It's only real victories. Moral victories do not get you a W. At the end of the day, that's all what it's about. Canelo whooped that ass. He lost weight so he can be quicker. Just like I said, his upper body movement was exquisite. There's gifts. It's pictures that Ringside Rave hasn't uploaded yet of Canelo pulling his Neo moves on him, looking like little Sweet P. Alvarez in the ring with Golovkin standing in front of him, just throwing heavy hammers at him and missing. But that's what people want to talk about, man. At the end of the day, Canelo whooped that ass. PEDs, he didn't need them. He beat the boy, he moved up. He got the lineal, he was a lineal champion already anyway. Now he's the WBC. Now he's the WBA. If he wants the IBF, I doubt it. But if he wants the IBF, he might go get that. WBO might be next up on the table. Right, that's all I got to say about it for now.
If you can remember, how did you score it?
I scored it 115-113 Canelo. I had it one round above a draw. So of course I'll give the obligatory, oh, I could see it on both sides, it's only one round. Fuck that. It's not one round. Canelo won that fight. It don't matter. Ain't no one round one way or the other. At the end of the day, one man's hand was raised. Two men's hand can't be raised. It's not a draw. We've seen that already. Canelo got that clean W. Let us celebrate.
Gotcha. Go ahead, Smoke. I know you've been
waiting on this day for a while. It felt a lot better on Sunday, but Canelo won a clear but close decision to me. I scored the fight 7-5, and the reason I say a clear decision is because the rounds that he did win, he won by breaking his foot off and Triple G's ass, no homo. He was walking him down. He was hitting him with the harder shots. He was taking all Triple G's punches, no problem. He was the aggressor in the fight. Everything that every Triple G fan wanted to see Triple G do, Canelo did, and he did it in a way that let him win the rounds and look impressive at the same time. He gave away a few, and that's not to say because he was so superiorly skilled to Golovkin. No, it was really close, almost, I would say, actually fight of the year, or like top three fight of the year so far. They're pretty even in terms of skill. Canelo's just got a lot more heart, which I didn't think I'd ever say, but so I had Canelo winning 7-5. I agreed with the judges completely. Everyone at the movie theater agreed with them, and shit was dope as fuck.
Gotcha, man. I'm gonna go before I swing it to you, Pat, man. I personally, y'all know I'm a Triple G fan, but I don't have a problem with the decision being awarded to Canelo. I think that, you know, they both had their moments. I do agree with what both of y'all were saying, all three of y'all were saying, about how Canelo was the more aggressive fighter. And he, to me, was, like I said, he just stayed active. And I thought that was the key to him getting those close swing rounds, man. Like, even if he was missing some shots, just staying active, because judges are humans just like all of us, man. And when you see somebody just trying to make the fight happen, and when those close rounds, you're thinking back to your fight, you're thinking back to what Triple G was saying pre-fight, yo, I'm gonna make it Mexican style, blah, blah, blah. But you're not doing that. So why should I give you a close round when you're not giving me what you said you was gonna give me, man? You know what I'm saying? You said you was gonna do this, that, and the third. Canelo's a bitch, he a this, he a that, da, da, da. But this man, coming off a year layoff, off surgery, off everything against him, he brought it to you. You know what I'm saying? He brought it to you. You know what I'm saying? And even you gave him some hella shots as the fight went on, but he kept going forward. And there was some times where Triple G had him. Like, I'm not saying he had Canelo hurt, but he had Canelo vulnerable to where he could have pounced on him like he used to do to Willie Monroe and blah, blah, blah. But again, like in the first fight, he didn't take him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had some times where I thought he was going to go, all right, now he's about to fight on his front foot. But he still relied on that jab. And like we said, I'm going to give more credit to a power punch than two jabs. I don't know how y'all see it, but that's how I see it. definitely agreed. When you do the jab and you don't do anything to follow up on the jab, you know what I'm saying? So while I do personally, I'm like, I do think Triple G won, but I can see why Canelo won. I don't have an issue with him winning. And also, now I ain't gonna talk about what's going next, but yeah, that's how I saw it. So without being said, Pat, you're the only one who picked Triple G. That's your man's. Go ahead and let us know how you feel, man.
All right. You know, first of all, I mean, my score was my score is 115-113 Triple G. You know, like I said, it was a hell of a fight to judge. You know, there was, I mean, during the whole theater, you know, there was this cat next to me or whatever. I was saying the same thing, like these rounds are hard to score. We were trying to mentally both score that shit. You know, and I was already blitzed out of my mind, so you know, I had to be on my phone, you know, trying to make sense. So hopefully I was putting down the right thing and not fucking up. So I still have my scores too. Like after the first four rounds, you know, I had Triple G up 3-1 because, you know, I had him 39-37. And then Canelo took the middle rounds, three of the four middle rounds, and I had it even after 8. And then Canelo started gassing out or whatever, you know, later than what he usually does, you know, which was a surprise to me because, as most of you know, I've been scathingly critical about Canelo on many, many, many different things. You know, and I did give Canelo the 9th round, but Triple G won the last 3 rounds, including the 12th round, which the judges seem to have not given him. So that made my score 115-113. It was a close fight. They were evenly matched. Like I said, I mean, Canelo, for once, you know, like I said, he fought like he actually had some Aztec blood in his system, like an Aztec warrior, and brought it to Triple G. Triple G said Mexican style. He brought it to him, and yeah. I was impressed. You know, like I said, you know, and he I'm impressed that he actually had enough in the sense to actually do it for more than half the fight, instead of a fourth of the fight. You know, so and I was impressed with that, and also I was impressed by his body work. However, Triple G impressed me because you can't knock the man down. I mean, it's not, I mean, you can't wobble him. You can't do anything. Like, Triple G took a lot of punishment, a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I was thoroughly impressed too, because like I said, you know, I like to see ruggedness in the fighters that I, you know, support. You know, and like I said, and it was amazing that he was just taking his punishment and kept going forward. And even, like I said, just to make sure that, you know, people recognize that, you know, he is Triple G, he still had Canelo in a bit of trouble in those later rounds, you know. I mean, I do think both men took a lot of punishment. So, if you had it 115, if you felt Canelo won 115-113, that's true. I personally didn't think Canelo won that fight. But I'm not going to argue and say like robbery, like a lot of all these people are saying. It's not a robbery. First fight, maybe, but that's you know, that's a different conversation. But this fight was not. It was evenly matched. The judges didn't turn in any cards, you know, that make me think, you know, this was
awesome.
Yeah. So like I said, it is the fight of the year. You know, mm-hmm. I like Herd. I like Herd and Law. Herd and Law was that was a brutal fight itself too, and it was a significant fight. But HBO, once again, you know, it continues to air. it's weird how that actually happens too. But yeah, that is the fight of the year. And like I said, I was impressed by the efforts of both men. Canelo raised himself a little bit in my eyes, and Triple G still remains Triple God to me. So
that's Thomas.
Hold on. But, yeah, I was about to say, before we move on to, you know, what we think would be the best move for the next, you know, for the fighters, y'all got any final thoughts or what anybody said? Want to comment on what somebody else might have said?
Triple G charade is over. Finally, the most overrated fighter in boxing.
Yeah, the one that lost to Zero. After, you know, Broner lost his zero, and after Bradley lost their zero, and the longest reigning champion in the 2000s finally lost his lost to zero. That's what actually happened. Oh shit, the Bears picked it up. But yes, yes, the longest reigning champion in boxing in the 2000s finally took a loss. Yes, after Bradley got his brain scrambled, after Broner sipped too much lean. Yes, you know. So yes, you know it is.
Hold on, Pat.
Bum ass niggas that are talking about, you know, well, they beat this, they were probably, nah, the motherfuckers got their brains scrambled and their stomachs, you know, looking like they're pregnant. Triple G.
All right, Pat, hold on. Go ahead, dude.
It's Big Pat and Triple G. That's Triple G for life, you know what I'm saying? What y'all got to say?
Motherfuckers
fucking with me with this bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Triple G is the triple god. You understand that? Triple G is the triple god. That's what the G stands for, God. You know, so you motherfuckers need to recognize that.
All right, go Pat. I mean, go News.
I mean, this man just punched himself out. Like, he threw everything he had at the wall and none of it stuck. I mean, when you get to the point of talking Canelo Triple G and you got to randomly bring up Broner and Bradley, that's when you know that L that Canelo put in Golovkin last night, that capital L that he put there, is to stay. We talking about triple God. How can he be your God when your God just lost? God doesn't lose. Your God's best fighter that he ever beat is Danny Jacobs. The same Danny Jacobs that we talked about. And it's good. You know what's crazy about it is that we talk about Broner. So let's talk about Broner and how I see it in comparison. But we're going to talk about Broner, and we're going to talk about the Broner that was at middleweight for 10 years. With his best victory being Danny Jacobs. Because I remember, if you're Danny Jacobs, right? So, like I said, very good fighter. He did take that one loss to Perel where he was knocked out, right? A lot of people thought that he did beat GGG in their fight. GGG struggled with him, beat him. He did beat Kell Brook, who didn't look as good, didn't look like a monster against a Kell Brook.
Keeps an arm on that fight.
He fought Canelo. Never looked like a monster against him. He's never, GGG has never looked like a monster in no point of his last three fights. And it's ironic that his last three fights against his biggest opponents he ever faced, Danny Jacobs, Canelo, and Kell Brook, he never really showed that dominance that he showed when he was fighting goat herders. Literally. He was literally fighting people like that and getting his name up on HBO. Since we want to talk about HBO, because HBO is the fight of the year, and we know HBO knows how to promote, because HBO is who everybody, the Floyd haters, the Broner haters, got their hate from. HBO promoting that. But yet, when you spin it around, so you got the hate from the promo that Broner got, because Broner's resume didn't back up the hate or the promo, but you don't turn around and put that same magnifying glass on your own fighter.
Hold on.
AP.
Like, you gotta zoom in on your own fighter.
Drink lean though. Triple G is a professional.
Drinking lean. We talking outside the ring. Let's talk about inside.
Money down the toilet.
Listen, all you talking about outside the ring stuff. Outside the ring, inside the ring.
Inside the ring, Triple G is a professional.
Outside the ring. Outside the ring, you don't know GGG. All we know about GGG.
Yeah, because he's not in the news like Broner is. That's why.
All we know because he's from Kazakhstan, Pat. He's a foreigner. He's not from here.
All right, he's not from here.
We've seen pictures of GGG back in the days when he was a kid running wild in the streets. He's not as good as the media and HBO portrayed him to be. But because you bought into that image, like you bought it to the image of him being triple God with only his best victory being Daniel Jacobs. Who's his second best win, Pat? GGG? Any fans? Tell me who's his second and third best victories. And you tell me why you call this man a God.
Hold on, News. Hold on, Pat. Hold on, Smoke. Let me ask AP. You still there with us?
None godly about that resume.
I'm here.
P, let me ask you this, man. You think like mentally and emotionally, Triple G is done. Like if he fought another big fight next, that it could go wrong. Let's say if he fights Charlo next, like you think he can get up for a big fight again, or you think that loss drained him?
I've been on the record as saying that Charlo beat both of them, regardless of who would have won. Now, for that question, yes and no. I think that Triple G is still a game. Like, make no mistake, he's still a game fighter. But I don't think that he would be the monster again that everybody has propped him up to be. Whether he was or not, that's not for me to debate. That's a whole different conversation.
Gotcha.
But he's still a game. He's still a top fighter. But I don't think he's monster. He's the elite. The man of the man.
He was never the monster he was portrayed to be. The facts is the facts, man. We can't sit here and go by resumes and facts by every other fighter that exists. But when it comes to GGG, we pretend that this man is not walking around here with Daniel Jacobs as the only scalp on his head that he's ever beat.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest. I could definitely see Triple G retire.
Yeah, he should. He should. If he can take L's to Canelo and still go away bulletproof with it, he should. Because what he's going to do that? He already turned down, Jamal Charlo doesn't deserve a fight. Ready?
Yeah.
So, so we already know he's not on that wave. We already know he's not on that wave. And then at the end of the day, he's a good fighter. But we're not talking about good. They were comparing this dude as possibly one of the greatest middleweights ever.
You saying that disrespecting the great Bernard?
That's disrespectful to Bernard Hopkins said it. Bernard Hopkins said it. He brought up his resume and broke down of GGG's resume. And I don't really want to get on GGG too much, but it's like at the end of the day, because he didn't win. So I don't really want to talk about the loser too much. He had enough shine off of Canelo. He's getting a lot of shine off of Canelo now because we're talking about him instead of the winner. Again, this is the thing with him. He gets shine off of Canelo. So we're talking about him, but at the end of the day, no matter what any of his fans ever say, you can bring up any fighter you want to bring up, but you got to have that same energy for those fighters. When you break down their resumes, you have to look at GGG's, and don't give me all this propaganda and all the talk. Just talk strictly resume. At the end of the day, his best threes are Daniel Jacobs, Kell Brook, brought up from 147, and David Lemieux. That's it.
All right, Smoke. Give us a quick final thoughts. And also, I'm going to let you start off, too, with saying, letting us know what you think, where Canelo goes from here.
Well, I just want to say, as much as I'm not personally a fan of them, Triple G, when he fought the bums that he did fight, he did what he had to do. When he stepped to the next level, which unfortunately for him was Daniel Jacobs, he got close split decisions and then got exposed versus Canelo. So it's been 6 years. It was a long 6 years. We had to deal with all the Miami stands, but it was a really good fight. Him and Canelo definitely put on fight of the year so far to me. So where do you go from there? I think Canelo takes an easy voluntary fight, and then he's got to wade into the waters of Big Charlo. Or unification.
They have the mandatory. He has that mandatory versus Lemieux.
Right. Yeah. And Pat, I know you want to jump in too, dog. Where do you think Canelo goes from here, man?
Well, Canelo, as I said, he has two mandatories. He has Charlo, which Oscar's definitely not gonna put him in anytime soon. And he has Lemieux, who scored that highlight reel knockout spike. And most likely Oscar could probably put him towards Lemieux. Because Lemieux is not much of a boxer, of all the top middleweights in the division. However, he hits the hardest, most likely. So, Oscar's put him in there, he might be good for TV. I'm pretty sure that's gonna be the next move. And I'm sure it's not gonna be in December either, because Triple G did nearly ripped off his eyelid. So he's not fighting again for the rest of the year.
Not till
like February or March at least. So that's where it's gonna go. Now, after Lemieux, you know, hopefully Charlo has a fight, you know, and gets the recognition, you know, gets people, you know, to say, hey, Charlo's next because he's the interim champion. And then, you know, in the summertime, if, you know, that fight happens. So, but basically, Canelo's next moves are with one of those two fighters.
Gotcha, man. What about you, News? What you think the next for the new middleweight kingpin?
Oh, he fighting Lemieux next. Pat got it. Pat got it. I agree 100%. Pat, I'm saying Pat. Canelo versus Lemieux. That Ali was horrible. That cut was horrible. I can't see that being stitched up and ready to go in just 3 weeks, especially knowing you facing a power puncher like David Lemieux, who will open you up in that first round. So see him coming back in like March, but then that would be probably more likely around then Cinco de Mayo, because then why come out a month and, you know what I mean, a month and a half outside of Cinco de Mayo. So I can see him fighting him there. I cannot see him fighting Jamal Charlo. That's a problem that actually needs to be addressed more, because if Jamal Charlo was of another hue, he would be considered the boogeyman of the division, because he's knocking guys out, and he's not, and not only has Team GGG said that they won't fight him, but Canelo, he could have already fought him, and they didn't want to fight him then, and they're, I don't see them fighting him now. But it would be interesting, though, because both of the guys, GGG and Canelo, are free agents now. So I'd like to see where they both go as far as... I think that's the most important thing. Like, they're going to go as far as TV network. Are they going to sign to the same network? Is GGG going to go... You know what I mean? Is GGG going to go PBC?
No.
You never know. So,
the zone.
I mean... Right, so I think that's going to be very interesting.
Gonna go with Kazakhstan.
Here he go. I knew Pat. Well, I mean, well, why you got to be petty, man? God damn it, man!
Best go for the show.
But yeah, man. I think Canelo. Y'all said it, man. I think Canelo is gonna fight Lemieux. Definitely Cinco de Mayo. And we'll all be watching, and he'll beat him if he don't get sparked, which I don't think he will. So, man, I don't even need to go any further than that. But what about you, P? What does Canelo, where does he go next from here? And also, once you finish that up, just go ahead and lead into where the Triple G go next.
Okay, so here's my thing. I do think that Canelo's going to take some time off. He's going to use the opportunity to take some time off. Because, I mean, obviously a fight like that, where both guys were truly, you know, was battered a bit. You know, that's the kind. This is the type of fight that takes time, that takes years off of your career. So I think he's going to take some time. I think he'll be back, like you said, around Cinco de Mayo. I see him fighting Lemieux because what you guys said, it makes the most sense. It's just it makes the most sense. But afterwards, then it gets tricky because. Who is he going to fight? Now, the funny thing was, little preview, tomorrow I'm going to be posting up on Bodega Boxing. I'm going to put up an Instagram photo of Canelo and all the champs. And I want to see who people really want him to face. Do they want to see him against Charlo? Do they want to see him against Danny Jacobs? Do they want to see him against Demetrius Andre? Possibly Billy Joe Saunders? I want to see what people think of what fight do we want to see out of all those guys? Who do we want to see Canelo fight? Who makes the best, you know, the most interesting and the best fight with those? But honestly, if you ask me who I think he fights after that, honestly, I think it would be Danny Jacobs. So I think he fights Lemieux, and then I think he fights Danny Jacobs later in the year because it makes too much sense. He's the only one of the guys that I mentioned that's the most viable, like, it could make it happen, like, money-wise. And also, just from a stylistic standpoint, he's the easiest of the other guys, of the guys that I've mentioned.
It depends too, because Danny Jacobs has to win his fight with Derevianchenko first.
Hold on.
I think Jacobs will beat Derevianchenko. I'm going with that assumption.
Wait a minute. Y'all can't just keep leaving out. Y'all just can't keep leaving out Andre. Billy Joe Saunders. Andre.
I said Andre.
The New England representative would be in the building. I know, but I'm saying, I think that we can't, whoever wins that fight, as far as for Canelo, I can see him fighting, especially if BJ Saunders win. and Billy Joe Saunders win. I could see him coming over Daniel Jacobs. Daniel Jacobs doesn't really bring, you know, funds to the table for Canelo, where at least Saunders brings, you know, that Euro crowd. So I could see that actually being, if Jacobs wins from beats Derevyanchenko, I can't see Jacob, because Jacobs would be too dangerous in comparison for the money. Yeah, I do think versus in comparison to Billy Joe Saunders.
I mean,
paper, yeah, to eye test.
Would you rather fight Billy Joe Saunders or Daniel Jacobs?
Billy, I mean, I'd rather fight Daniel Jacobs if I'm a boxer.
I don't know. I wouldn't do that.
Canelo could hurt him a lot easier.
Saunders is a different issue for a lot of fights, because Saunders is a mover. You know, Saunders is big and he's a mover. You know, I mean, obviously Canelo would probably take the Saunders fight, but in doing so, you know, Saunders does have the ability to make someone look foolish with his movement. Saunders is not much of a puncher, but he moves around the way and he knows how to control distance very well.
I don't know. Can he just control distance better than Arislandi Lara? Because I seen Arislandi Lara beat Canelo in Vegas and get the L. So if Billy Joe Saunders ain't Lara, then...
Well, let's go this way. And I said it before, like, he can do it, but unless he probably hurts Canelo enough, he's
right.
He ain't winning a point. He ain't winning a point.
Right. You already know that's my slogan. That was the main thing. You're not beating
one of them are.
So, I'm taking Billy Joe.
I don't think Saunders is as good as people make him out to be. I don't think he's as slick as he makes himself out to be. I think you talk about his movement. He's one of those guys that moves just for the sake of movement. It's his movement. Against a guy like Canelo, that's not going to win him any points.
Not in Vegas.
Nope.
But it's going to open up that same argument with Canelo and Laura. It's like, oh, Canelo didn't do anything. Like that's how I see Canelo and Saunders playing out. If Saunders does that and Canelo can't keep up with his movement, but he gets the decision, that's going to be another can of worms. But, I mean, that's far down the line for about that.
I think Andre is the most risky of, I mean, not actually Charlo is sexy, but after Charlo, Andre. Andre is the one that just is too risky for Canelo. I don't see Canelo fighting Andre.
I think Andrade has a fight that he has coming up that he should focus on way more than even thinking about.
Oh, definitely.
I have Canelo figured all those dudes.
But why you on that? Why we there, Smoke? What you think next for Triple G?
For Triple G, honestly, if I was him, if I didn't get a third Canelo fight, I would just retire. I mean, he, like I said earlier, a lot of, and people say this about Floyd, a lot of Triple G's aura was with his zero, and kind of when you saw him like with his face busted up, kind of like looking all fucked up, like not surprised when he lost the decision, like that invincibility aura, that reason that you tune in to watch him, kind of just like went away. If I'm him, I get the bag, I secure the bag, and that is I try and get a third Canelo fight, which I think he would lose, but I take that third fight, and I don't go to war or anything crazy like that, business decision fight, and then just, you know, post off, because he has a loyal set of followers that are going to dig up his, what he's got right now, and for him to go against anyone that punches harder than Canelo would be a mistake.
Gotcha. What about you, News?
Again, I think GGG, free agent, I got to see who he signs with first. They brought up the Euro Tour. Once you start doing the Euro Tour, you basically on the way out the door. Because yes, you're a European fighter, but you fight in the United States. So, at the end of the day, I can see GGG continuing on the fight. I can't see him ever being considered as being some type of invincible monster ever again.
Kovalev. Like that.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, not even to the thing of Kovalev, but that would happen in his next fight. If mm-hmm. it depends on who he fights, though. He mm-hmm. might, they might get him another lower caliber opponent, the type of opponent people used to seeing him smash on HBO and beating them. He might get Spike next. You never know. And he knocks out Spike, and then they build it up. But you never know. Like I said, I'm more in tune. I want to know where he's going next, as far as network, and then I can see what he's going to do as far as his next fight.
What about you, Pat?
Well, I mean, from where I see Triple G going, I mean, he's a free agent now. I mean, he just finished his final fight on the HBO contract. Unless HBO offers him a bag to do a third fight of Canelo, which is a possibility, then I'd be like, hey, you know, do that, you know, grab another, he's paying for what, $40 million, you know, he'd probably grab another $40 million or some shit like that, you know. So I mean that's obviously a possibility. If not, then yeah, we have to see where he actually going. Is he gonna go to, you know, go with Heyman? Is he gonna go with ESPN? Is he gonna go to Hearn the Zone, you know? Is he? I mean, it all really depends on his next moves. I mean, where he signs that you actually really determine what, or maybe hypothesize where he's actually going to go next, or what he's going to do. But the man has options. You know, that's the thing. You know, that needs to be reiterated. He has plenty of options. Just we have to know where, you know, where he's actually going to go. You know, that's going to be like more bang for his buck, and maybe like on the way, maybe to maybe one more title reign, who knows. But yeah, it all depends on where he actually signs next,
right? Yeah, I think personally it'll never happen, because it would have been happened, and this is thinking so out of the wall, but I wish he would move out to 168 and just fight James DeGale, and the loser just retires match. Like, I would love to see him at 168. Years ago, when he was saying nobody wanted to fight him, and it never happened. But then you got somebody like DeGale, who is his punch resistance is now low, and I just want to see him what he could have done at 168. And I think that's an opponent that would have given him a good fight. It'll never happen, but realistically, I don't know. Like, I'm with y'all too. Y'all raise a great point. It's better to judge once we see where he signs next. If he signs back to HBO. Yeah, I'm like news. They'll probably give him a bum tour with Spike being his next fight and X, Y, and Z. Maybe have him fight Munguia. I don't know, but yeah, it's more predicated on who he fight with, so who he signs with. And with that being said, yo, we got another big fight going on this week, man. You know, we got Alexander Povetkin, and we got Anthony Joshua, AOP. What you think is going to happen, how you feel about the fight, you know, just give us your thoughts overall, man.
All right. First, I just want to say that, like, when we get done with this, like, this topic, I want to circle back to something about Canelo that I forgot to bring up, that I totally slipped my mind. But we'll deal with that.
Bring it up now. Go ahead. Bring it now.
Okay. But here's an option that nobody's brought up, and I could definitely see it happening, and you guys are going to laugh, but man, it is what it is. So, what if the Canelo does a little fight, bum fight now, the Lemieux and Tune-Up? Now, we're hearing rumbling of Floyd Mayweather coming back to fight for a rematch. What if he does that, beats Pacquiao, and then at the end of the year, next year, we see Canelo versus Floyd Mayweather at a catchweight for the middleweight title? It might sound crazy, but I can see that happening.
No, now that you've thrown that out there, and we're gonna run with that.
I can see it happening. I can see it. You know what? It's boxing. It's 155.
Money.
Canelo.
It's money.
Canelo could still drop 4 pounds to make 155 to fight him, because you can defend your belt. You know what I mean? At 155 for him. So, can I see him dropping an extra 4 for that Canelo, for that Floyd payday? Because yes, that Canelo Floyd payday in this level, yeah, I can see that happening definitely.
I could see it happening. I don't want to see it happen.
I'm not saying I want it to happen. I just think it's possible. I think when I'm thinking about it, it just makes too much sense.
I do want to see it happen. Personally, I do want to see it happen because I want to see if Canelo's really improved. If you can't, I mean, at the end of the day, Floyd is TBE. If Floyd could come back and possibly beat Canelo at even an older age, we say, well, Floyd, he's coming back to fight Pacquiao. Why isn't he fighting Errol Spence? Why isn't he fighting Terrence Crawford? If Floyd ends up fighting a Canelo, that's much better because a Terrence Crawford and a Errol Spence ain't a Canelo yet.
Nope, financially or financially or accomplishments wise, they not.
Right. So if Floyd could come back and move up and get the lineal, become lineal champ, retire with the lineal champion 52-0 by middleweight champion by beating Canelo and giving Canelo his only two L's of his career. And then retiring again and giving Pacquiao his only two L's of his career. Well, no, I'm sorry. Of his, you know, post. His post Filipino Green. Like when he got in this thing, you know what I mean? But yeah, we know. Pretty much, you know what I mean? Going 2-0 over Pacquiao, 2-0 over Canelo. That'd be something huge for Floyd's legacy. So, yeah,
that
ever happened.
Y'all wanna see that? Yeah, smoking tag. Y'all wanna add something?
No, I don't want to see that fight. Much
what about you, Pat?
I mean, it's too much of a long shot for me. I mean, a lot of things would have to like go down for it. I mean, I wouldn't care about it because, like I said, Canelo has other things to take care of first before, you know, dealing with Floyd and whether or not he's decided he's going to retire or not because Rossi's trying to move on without him. So,
All right.
It's not a fight I really care about at the point.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to circle back to P to get his thoughts on this heavyweight fight with Joshua and Pavek. And then, yeah, like I said, just go ahead and let us know how you feel about everything, predictions, and just your general thoughts.
I think so. About this fight, I'm gonna be completely honest with y'all. All any like excitement that I've had with this fight, which hasn't been much, has now dwindled even more. I feel like Jesus. This fight is a letdown. This fight is not what I want to see. It's not what a lot of people want to see. Honestly, I've never been high on success. Even before the whole steroids, you know, and juice him up. And I don't see him competing with Joshua unless he hurts him. And I don't think Joshua will let him get hurt by his shot. I think he'll get outboxed and I think he'll get stopped in the later round. Like 8th, 9th round.
So you got it on stoppage basically before the 10th round. It won't go past 10, in your opinion.
No, I've never been high on expecting. I think that Joshua's boxed him and stopped him. I think it's a throwaway fight. The mandatory gets him out of the way, and then Joshua can fight the fight that all of us want to see.
You mean get Dillian White, right? No, just playing around. What about you, Smoke?
I mean, so I think that Anthony Joshua should win this fight probably by TKO or UD, but if he doesn't protect himself at all times and he leaves his hands down, he gasses out a little bit like he's been known to, he could easily get his chin chapped and get the shit rocked.
Well, what do you think? What do you think is going to be? You gonna think it's going to be on points or a stoppage?
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to end up being a points victory because I think Povetkin has enough to keep him at bay, and unless Joshua has improved on his boxing technique, I don't think that's going to happen.
And what's your interest level in this fight too? Because I know Pete said it's dwindled. How you feeling?
Here's the option. If the options are like, hey, like some random like white chick calls me and it's like, hey, do you want to go out? Or it's like, hey, should I stay in and watch this shit? I'm gonna go out with the random white chick. I've never seen a picture of her. All I know is that she likes to smoke weed. And I'm going out with her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, but yeah, I hear you, man. Before I get the news and Pat, you know, I personally, I think it's not going to go past 9. I think Pivette can, you know, he's skilled somewhat, you know, and he's game. But I think, you know, Femi is younger. He's ascending. And Pavetkin's on the wrong side of his career. And seeing a PED cheater get knocked out is what we love in boxing. You know, as much as I like Ortiz, seeing him get curb stomped by Wilder brought a smile to my face. And I think the same mm-hmm. thing is going to repeat itself. And I think after the fight, sorry, Pat, but I think AJ is absolutely not going to remember Deontay Wilder's name or Fury's name. But, you know, that's later. But I think that's what's going to happen. And news, what you think, man?
Oh, man, I'm actually excited for the fight. But I'm also a huge fan of heavyweights. I love the heavyweight division. So I'm excited to see Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua, at the end of the day, still is the number one champion at heavyweight. And so he's putting on that the WBA, the I'm sorry, WBA, the WBO, the IBF championship on the line against Povetkin. And Povetkin, I mean, he does have that punch. I mean, I of course, it's from the PEDs. I mean, at the end of the day, I believe it's from the PEDs. He's been busted, what, twice, three times? I don't remember. But he also was a gold medalist. I mean, I don't know if he was on the PEDs back then, but if you get busted twice, I can't assume when you started. But again, at the end of the day, he does have skill. His only L is to Vlad. I think it's going to be a nice competitive fight. And I can't even get mad if Joshua gets rocked in the fight because, I mean, Povetkin is really no different than Luis Ortiz. Mm. He's really no different there. I mean, we haven't seen anything about Luis Ortiz that says he's better than Alexander Povetkin.
That's true.
We've never seen it. So I can't just say it because I like Wilder better than Joshua, because in order for me to be fair and to come for my props, when they finally do fight and Bomb Squad delivers that bomb and knocks him out, I got to give Joshua his fair props now. And I don't see like the fight, the way people are playing it is, okay, so Joshua, we're going to say he's great and it's an easy fight. Povetkin's an easy fight. Then at the same time, then we have to hold Joshua in that type of esteem where a fight against Alexander Povetkin is an easy fight, because I would never call that, like, I would never call like it's not a risk-free fight for Joshua. It's a heavyweight fight against a dude who only lost once, who has a gold medal.
Yeah, basically people acting like all he has to do is just show up to the ring and he's good. And that definitely is not the case. But yeah,
I'm not saying that. Go ahead,
Fee.
I'm not saying that. I just don't think that
Povetkin is good. Uh-oh, hold on, we can't hear you.
Sorry, can you hear me?
The people can't hear you, P.
Yeah.
Somewhat, bro. Do we need to come kidnap? We need to come rescue you.
I apologize.
Now, there you go.
All right. So, my thing is, I just can't think Povetkin is good as people have hyped him up to be. I remember when people thought that Povetkin would be wild, and I thought that was silly because I never thought he was good. This is the guy that got a gift against a blown up cruiserweight in Marco.
Huh. Yeah.
And Joshua is way more skilled than Hawk, in my opinion, and bigger and more powerful. So I just guess there is somewhat a threat, but I don't think the threat is that high.
No, I'm not saying that the threat is high for it. I'm not saying the threat is high. The threat is always high, period, when you're a heavyweight, of course. We know that.
When you're
I'm not saying, down, yeah. Right. I'm not saying that the threat is high. What I'm saying is I see the fight as a legit fight. I don't see it as Anthony Joshua taking an easy walk in the park fight. Like, I don't see it like the Carlos Takem fight. I don't see it as the Joseph Parker fight. I don't see it like that. I think Alexander Povetkin is a legit opponent. To me, that again, there's no difference between Luis Ortiz and Alexander Povetkin. I don't see how we can separate them when Povetkin has a better resume than him, right, too. Right. So I don't see how we can separate that. So I think it's a legit fight, especially with the Anthony Joshua putting his belts on the line against him. Because at the end of the day, who else is he going to fight? Besides, if he wasn't fighting Wilder and he's not fighting Fury,
and no Usyk,
who else is next? I mean, again, we got Dillian White, Dominic Brazil. Like, it's a huge drop off if you get to Wilder, Joshua, Fury, Ortiz,
and no Miller, Beckham. And no Miller either.
Right? No, it's the top five, and then there's a gap. And then the next set starts. It's not like it's a difference between like Povetkin and Luis Ortiz are not on the same level as Jarrell Miller and Dillian White. Like, I don't see that yet. I think Dillian White and Jarrell Miller and them need to prove that they are better than the Dominic Brazil. I think they need to prove they're out of that B class and that they're actually in the A class of heavyweights, which is those five I just named: Joshua, got Wilder, it, Fury, Povetkin, and Ortiz. Those are the top five.
Where you at? What, Pat? That's your man. AJ's your man. The floor is yours, my man.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've always said, Povetkin is what he is. I mean, let's say he's failed two PED tests. And Povetkin has scored some of the absolutely sickening, most sickening KOs I've seen in recent, not the heavyweights, but like overall, like, you know, I mean, this is where I think the fight is a trap fight. Like I said, I mean, Povetkin is getting old. I mean, there's no question that he's 38 or 39. I mean, most people don't realize he's been around for a long time. Like, he's from Vlad's generation of heavyweights. He's you know, I mean, it just seems like, I mean, it seems like he hasn't been around for long, but he's been around for a long time. So I'm not putting anything behind it. Like, people can say, oh, Povetkin is nothing. Povetkin has only lost once, and he's never been knocked out. And that, like I said, I don't know where people get the narrative that Povetkin is an easy touch. He's not. He's a little bit more he's a little bit craftier than that, and a little bit more powerful than that. So, and I don't like this fight because I think it's a trap fight. I'm just hoping, you know, that, you know, Femi should win this fight, and I think he will win. But it's one of those fights that it could easily backfire, and it could set the heavyweight division back a couple steps if that happens.
What's your prediction, though?
I think Femi, because I can't say knockout, really. I mean, Femi will win on points, you know, because like I said, Povetkin, you know, he hasn't been knocked out before. He's, you know, he's only been knocked down like three or four times by Vlad, and Vlad couldn't even put him away. So it's not, I can't say knockout. So by points, you know, that Femi will win.
Gotcha. And news. What, I don't know if we got your prediction for the fight. What you think's gonna happen?
Uh-oh. News is faded.
Well, shit. While he's man down, Pat. You know, this is the trenches segment. The Eagles yesterday. What happened?
This is a trenches segment.
We talking about football. What happened?
Man, what happened is our secondary, you know, is, you know, on some other shit.
Oh. Sorry, yeah. Fella. Sorry, fans. I just had to make a little Supreme OG break.
That's cool.
Are we talking about the Bucks Eagles?
Yeah, we segmented. We going to do a quick little break into the trenches before we wrap it up, man. I was asking Pat, what the hell happened yesterday?
What happened, Pat?
Our secondary didn't perform the way it should have been. Our offense, again, is, you know, we adjusted in the second half, but it was sputtering in the first half. Our defense actually held. You know, I'm proud of our defense. I have no problem with how our defense
played. Proud of your defense? Giving up 400 yards and four touchdowns? Oh, no. Patrick?
But, you know,
News got his research.
Well, I said our secondary was, we didn't play. I put most of the loss on our secondary. his secondary playing so bad. But you know, it's just a thing. Our offense isn't kicking in because components of our offense, you know, they're either going down with injuries early or they're recovering from them. You know, so and unfortunately, you know, Foles is a quarterback where if there's things on the line, he'll perform, and he's done it before. But when things aren't on the line, he resorts back to a different form.
Nick Foles, right?
Yeah, Nick Foles. I mean, he's a starter at Philly before. I mean, so it's like it's not like I haven't seen it before, but it's just unfortunate that he's reverted back to the form that got him booted off as a starter. You know, so I mean, all I can do is, man, I mean, we're 1-1, just, and we got the Colts next, so we just have to. We get Wentz back too, so hopefully that, you know, that sparks up our offense a little bit, and you know, we can run off another win streak before we take another L. You know.
And yeah. P, I know you're a Jets fan, bro. What happened?
Rough day at the office. Our quarterback, bad interceptions, our wide receivers fucked the thing up. Our offensive line, terrible. Like I'm too fearful for Darnold right behind that offensive line. Good thing our quarterback is mobile, unlike the other New York quarterbacks, but. Our defense on the match, like, our head coach Todd Bowles has to go. He specialized for defense, and our defense is even that good. It's poor play calling, poor discipline. I'm on the fire, Todd Bowles. You gotta go.
Hey, news. Your boys.
Yeah. I ain't really got to say much. Like, at the end of the day, because I'm not going to talk. Listen, I'm going to talk my trash when we get the W, of course. I'm supposed to. If you take the L, you got to take that L. There's no way you can handle a W but can't handle an L. But at the same time, I'm not going to talk too much trash with Ryan Fitzpatrick as my quarterback. Y'all not going to get me like that. Like, we're not going to come back in week 10 and y'all telling me, asking me about Ryan Fitzpatrick. Listen. Jameis is my quarterback. That's my quarterback. They better put my boy back in where he's supposed to be. The franchise quarterback, the number one overall pick, that Pro Bowl quarterback, put him back in his rightful position like he would do any other young quarterback. And then we won't have no problems. That's all I'm going to say about that for now. But I am enjoying the 2-0 because if y'all remember the first episode we did, I believe, or it was the second episode when we were talking about this, I said I expected us to start off 0-3.
You did.
Mm-hmm. I'm just enjoying it.
Yep, man. Shit. Let me, before I get to you, Smoke, you know, but I'm just going to say shout out to my Jags yesterday who Word. I predicted was going to lose 26-21 to the Patriots.
I told you to that.
You did.
Yeah, I told you that. Did. But then we're going to do some work, man. The pass defense is soft. I mean, it's really gotten bad over there.
Yeah, man, we, you know, offensively, Blake Bortles, I don't know what voodoo he did, but just keep doing it. He looks solid, you know, that's maybe his best game that he's played as a pro when it comes to a significant game. You know, obviously, I think we got a top two defense, maybe the top in the league.
I don't know. I mean, Bortles did. I mean, he did shred.
I mean, Bortles at some point. You know, come on now. Yeah, I got it. Come on. Now, that notwithstanding, you know, he did his thing. We got the Titans this week. I don't know if Mariota going to be back or not.
Although the Jags, they did suffer a blow because I'm hearing that Cam Robinson is out
for the year. And Fournette. I know we're never going to get a healthy 16 out of him, so that can be problematic going forward too. You know, definitely in the postseason. So
definitely hurt my standing career.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I'm happy. Like I said, we got the Titans this week. I think, from my knowledge, it's at home. We should win that one, and hopefully off to a 3-0 start, man. And you know, last but not least, Smoke, who was so kind to join us, even though his Bears was doing their thing tonight, man. So How you feel about your Chicago Bears, bro?
Bear down, 1-1. What's up, Bears? If Mitchell steps up, we could be a great team. If he doesn't, we'll have a great defense.
Wait, 1-1. What's the Jaguars' record?
Yeah, we 2-0, man. We beat the Giants last week on the road to open the season in an ugly game, and we won yesterday, you know, playing hella inspired yesterday.
Inspired.
That's... he was inspired yesterday, man.
It was inspired, man. But the Bears defense, I'm just watching that shit. That motherfuckers is scary. Fucking Mac is causing for these quarterbacks, man. If he stays healthy, he's gonna be a problem.
Yo, you might want to hand that man the league MVP trophy right now. Like all jokes aside, like that shit is unfucking believable what that man is doing, man. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm just happy the Bears are not on the Eagles schedule this year. You know, thank goodness for that. I don't need that motherfucker coming after Wentz or Foles, depending who's playing at the time.
But yeah, man, you know this. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna step aside and I'm gonna let the OG news go ahead and wrap this up, man. Let us know when the podcast, when it's gonna be available, where you can find us at, you know, on all platforms, and that'll be the end of the episode. Go ahead and wrap it up for us, news.
Oh yeah, man. You already know you can find Ringside Rave. We everywhere, man. But specifically, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram, both at Ringside Rave. You can follow us on Podomatic, iTunes, YouTube. You can find us in Jacksonville, New York, Colorado, Massachusetts, Ohio. You can find us everywhere. Ringside Rave. We across the world. We even over in Hungary. Y'all got to feel me. So, at the end of the day, thank you for another beautiful episode of Ringside Rave. I'm gonna let the fellas get y'all off. You know what I mean? I'm Ringside Rave all day. I'm here. I'm doing this thing. We doing this podcast, and I'm gonna speak this real quick. Like I said, I got the Supreme with me, so I gotta let my fellas talk a little bit. So I got on this podcast with me. This is RSR News, representing that Ringside Rave. We got my boy P representing Bodega Boxing. Y'all follow him, check him out. We got my boy Smoke representing Free Smoke Boxing.
What up? Follow
him, check him out. We got Maul representing Bruising Boxing.
Yep.
Check him out, man. Y'all, listen, we got Pat, the New England representative. I'll always hear him, man. So follow him, man. Check us all out. Ringside Rave is more than that, man. It's a bigger thing. We're doing something bigger in this boxing thing, man. I'm done.
Shit, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah, it's good.
We got y'all.
Yeah, peace. All right,
y'all.
That's people with the subway sounds again.
Exactly, y'all. All right, man. Until then, like I said, this podcast will be available for y'all to listen to tomorrow. And we'll check back with y'all next Tuesday when we drop, and we're going to recap and a lot of other stuff.